you ever been promised something and then let down?
Yes.
Yeah, I have. I was promised Minties. And I've been let down. But that's all right. It's only if I need Minties. All right. We'll go with some Minties. So this is a length. Thank you. Plenty.
Marks.
So this is called a breaking rope. It's a cotton rope. It's used for breaking horses. And this one isn't properly made up for breaking horses, because I use it for breaking kids. No, I don't really. So we've been talking about a few things, and the Minties aren't for me. The Minties are for, let's go, 1, 2, 3, 4, let's go 5. 5's a good number. How do you know? All Minties look alike. How do you tell it was the same one? Alrighty. So I asked you if you were with me this morning. I asked you some questions about last night. Of course, if you weren't here this morning, if you were with the younger kids, you wouldn't have got the answers to that. But I want to go back to last night and just ask you a few questions about last night. I want to know the main title. We talked about a lot of titles of Christ, but there was a main title for the Son of God that we looked at for camp. Can anyone tell me what the main title we're looking at? It's not necessarily the main title of the Son of God, but for camp it's the main title we're looking at. So can anyone remember? What's your name right in the end? Yep. Sorry?
Presley,
what do you think? Can you remember? The captain. Do you like Minties or do I give it to someone else? You do? Do you want me to give it to someone else anyway? No. Okay. There you go. All right. So the captain. The captain of what? The captain of what? Ooh. Close, but no Minty. Not just the captain of salvation. The captain of... Ooh, here. No, not all things. Here in this, what is that even? What are you wearing? An udi. What? The captain of what? Gone. Oh. Sorry. Ooh, not quite. It is salvation, but it's not just salvation. The captain of. Sorry. No. Right back, Lacey. Of our salvation. Okay. Personal possessive, our, okay? The captain of our salvation. I got 3 more Minties, and I've run out of questions. So, no, I haven't really. We looked at him being the captain of our salvation. If you'll only be able to answer this if you were with me this morning. So this will just be for the older kids. Who is the other prince that we spoke about? The other captain. If you were the little kids, you wouldn't be able to answer. But if you were the older kids, you might be able to. It wasn't Jesus. No, it wasn't God over this side. Sorry? The devil. The devil is called a prince, the prince of the power of this air. And we learned about the fact that there is a devil. Going back to captain, what sort of captain? Is it a cricket team captain? Is it a youth camp captain? Is it a scout club's captain? Is it a military captain? What sort of word is captain? When we talk about Jesus as captain, what sort of word is it? Beth? Military captain. Good job. We're talking about a military captain. It's a military word. Last one. In the Australian Army, a captain is in charge of how many men and officers? Oh, at the back? Good job. 120. Nice to see you listening. That's good. All righty. I hope that fact's right. I did check it, but I hope I remembered it right. Otherwise, I'll teach yours all wrong. But that's what it was when I looked it up. So. All righty. So take your Bibles. I get to throw it at you twice. Lauren's got Bob. You need to get Bob off Lauren. So take your Bibles and turn as quickly as you can. Get yourself right over there. Ready, ready, ready? Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Oh, I'll take you. Are you there? What have we got? You got to read them out. Verse 1 through 4. Nice and quiet. Hang on. Nice and quiet. I still hear mutterings. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. All right, hang on, I can't quite hear you. Nice and loud. Good job, good job. All righty, I hope you're following along as that was getting read out. So Lauren, can see, thank you. All right. So here in Hebrews 2, verse 1 through 4, the Bible says, there's a key phrase here I want to look at in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we neglect so great salvation. When there's something that can be neglected, we need to be very mindful of that. Because it's just through forgetfulness, or we're just through not thinking, or it's just through carelessness that isn't taken care of as it ought to. And the Bible says that we ought not neglect so great salvation. Now we're going to stop right now and we're going to pray. And here's what we've been doing, and here's what we so often do whenever we get to church, is the preacher reads a passage of scripture and he says, right, we're now going to pray, and he'll pray, or he'll get someone else to pray, and he'll roll on, and we get to, and I do that all the time. But right now, I want us to do something just slightly different. We're going to stop and pray, but I want you to pray. I want you to pray just quietly in your mind, and I want you to pray for you. I want you to pray that God would talk to you about your salvation. I want you to stop and take some time. Do you know what the opposite of neglect is? It's to tend to something. If we're not neglecting it, we're tending to it. We can neglect a garden, or we can tend to a garden. I want you to tend to your relationship with God right now. I want you to stop, and we're just going to pray momentarily. So I tell you what you're going to do. I'm going to guide you through this, not what to pray, but I'm just going to guide you through step by step so that you don't get caught up in the distraction. I want you all to close your eyes. Just close your eyes for me right now. I want you to put your hands still, whatever you're fiddling with. Put your hands still, stop writing on your hand. Stop playing with things. Just close your eyes, and now that we're all still and quiet, just talk to the Lord and ask Him to talk to you. So close your eyes and just ask God to talk to you tonight. I'm only going to give you a couple of seconds. I'll pray and then we'll get into the service. My Lord, it doesn't take long to come to you and just ask a simple question, just that you talk to our hearts. So Lord, as we open up your word tonight, I pray you would speak to us. That Lord, each and every one of these kids, I know, Lord, there's some here that asked you just now that you'd speak to them. And I pray they'd hear you tonight. And if not tonight, Lord, I pray they'd hear you this week, that you'd still their hearts and they'd hear what you have from them, have for them from your word. Help me to preach. Multiply your word to the hearer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you realize that right now, if you did what I asked, if you prayed to God, do you realize you just had a conversation with the most powerful individual in the universe, seated in some valley in Melanda? Who'd have thunk it, hey? Who'd have thought? They're just like that. You can't do that with any other great world power. But we can stop and just ask God, and you know what? He hears our prayers. He hears what each and every one of us bring to Him. And the Bible says here, and it talks about the need for us to not neglect so great a salvation. Matthew 6:28. Hold Matthew 6:28. Come on, who's there? Oh, you're there again. You all right? Read it out nice and loud. Hang on a sec. Sorry. Matthew 6:28. Sorry, Simba, missed you, buddy. Simba, when you stand up, stand on the chair. Okay? Yeah, because there's not much difference sitting down to standing up. I'm trying. All right, nice and quiet. Hang on. Nice and quiet, guys. And nice and loud. Are you in Matthew? It is, chapter 6. Oh, yes, sorry, I need you to keep going to verse 31. That's why you didn't quite get to where I needed you to be. There we go there. Just pull up there for me, hon. Compares us. Thank you. Good job. Yeah, you can see that. Compares us to a lily of the field that he tends to. It talks about how the Lord, if a lily of the field is arrayed with such beauty, how much more will the Lord care for us? And you know why? Because you know why he tends to us? Because he cares for us. He cares about the things we go through. When you have a garden and you tend to it, you care about whether the rabbits get in and eat all your veggies. You care about whether the bugs devour all the leaves. You care about what goes on in that garden. And the Lord tends and makes beautiful the fields of the lilies of the field. And He's created them in such a way that they blossom and bloom and grow with great beauty. And how much more does He care for us? And will take care of us. And what he simply says to us is for us to tend to the things of God. It's a two-way relationship that God desires from us. That he would tend to us as he does, whether we're his or not. Do you realize that? That even people that don't know that God exists, he still allows them to breathe in and breathe out. And he keeps their heart beating in their chest. And he counts the hairs on their head. And he knows the thoughts and intentions of their heart. when they don't even know He's there. And He says to you to not neglect so great a salvation. That there's a relationship with God that's important and you ought not neglect it. That you ought to be mindful of it. In Mark, we're asked, in Mark 8:36, we're asked, what shall it profit? I'm already there. You need to listen up what's going on, big fella. In Mark 8:36, we're asked, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Do you know what the opposite of salvation is? It's loss. The opposite of being saved is to be lost, to lose. You know, if you save money, or you lose money, right? Your salvation is for your soul. And what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? There's something to tend to about your soul, and that's why I asked you tonight to stop and pray that God might speak to you, and you won't hear Him with the hearing of the ears, but you'll hear Him in your heart through the reading of God's Word, through the preaching of it, through the ear of faith. If you stop and wait for the Lord, He'll speak to you. And the Word of God will be applied to your life. You've got to read the Bible and go, that's me. And understand that this book that's been around for thousands of years still speaks to those that read it with an ear of faith. Looking unto the Lord still speaks through His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So tend to these things. Tend to the salvation that is needful for you to tend to. I give you this verse. I'm going to read Hebrews. Any verse in Hebrews, I'm going to read. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. For under the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? There's not just a salvation to tend to, but there is a captain that desires to visit with us. A captain of our salvation, the Son of God, He desires to visit with you. He desires to spend time with you. He desires to interact with you. We understand that He came to seek and to save that which is lost. But if you turn to John 1:47, who can get there? John, and I'm pretty sure I've written that down wrong, but we'll just have a look. I think it might be John 10:47. Let me just find. No, it's not John 10:47. I've written the wrong verse down. Just let me find where we need to be. Any Bible scholars here? I'm looking for the conversation that Jesus had with Nathanael under the fig tree. Help me out, please. It is 1:47? I should have trusted my notes. It's bad when you don't trust your notes. Your notes are so unreliable that you don't trust them even when they can be trusted. John 1:47, I'm going to go with him, because he was the first one I saw. I don't know whether he was up or not. Did anyone see who was up first? It was Sam. Yeah, rightio. John 1:47, Sam. Send Bob over. He needs Bob. Yep. Keep reading a bit. Rightio. Nathanael turns up and Jesus said, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. And then Nathanael's like, I don't know this man. I've never seen him before in my life. And Jesus said, before Philip called you, while you're under the fig tree, I saw you. You realize that? That Jesus was watching Nathanael before Nathanael was watching Jesus. Jesus was mindful of Nathanael before Nathanael was mindful of him. And Jesus knew what Nathanael was doing before Nathanael knew Jesus was even doing anything. Do you know why? Because he desires you and me. He desires a friendship. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The question is asked in Hebrews, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are you? What importance do you have in all of the billions of people in the world? Yet, the Lord knows your name, the hairs on your head. He knows what you were doing, Nathanael, when you were sitting under the fig tree. When no one else knows what you're doing, the Lord knows what you're doing. This is who the captain of our salvation is. He's mindful of us, and he's mindful of you. And he desires that he's a captain to visit with. And so I asked you at the start to stop and pray and say to the Lord, Lord, will you speak to me? So that you might say to the Lord, Lord, I want to hear from you. You know, you ought to know. I know God wants to talk with you. If God didn't have anything to say to you, he wouldn't have given this. Yeah. If God didn't have anything to say to you, he wouldn't have given us his word. But he's got some things he wants to say to you. And he says it through the preaching of his word, through the reading of his word, through the believing of his word, through the thinking, the meditating on his word. That's why we're getting you to read Bible verses. Do you know why Bible verses are worth more points? It's not just to give the brainy kids a chance. It's because when you leave here, the races you won, the obstacle courses that you did faster than anyone else, won't matter a hill of beans. But the Bible verses you remember will stay with you for life. And the Lord will call them to remembrance from the depths of your heart to convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. To remind you that he's there and he cares. And he's got something he has to say to you. And he will use his word that you've hid in your heart this week. And so we encourage you with great points and whatever we can to remember those verses so that at some stage God might call them back to mind when he wants to talk with you. And so we're mindful that the captain desires to visit with us. If I go back to Hebrews, remember there's no race to Hebrews. I want to read Hebrews to you. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 7. Talking about man, who is man that thou art mindful of him. The Lord said, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. The Lord said that thou crownest man with glory and honor and did set over him the works of thy hands, set him over the works of thy hands, thou hast put all things in subjection. Do you know what subjection is? Subjection is to be made to yield. I need some volunteers, and this is a very good way to find some volunteers. Where'd they go? Red, green, blue. All right, here we go. So I need some volunteers. Volunteers, grab a ball. Oh, I need that this side. Kick it over here. This one's got to go over there. Red, blue. Did it? I don't think you'll die. But if you do, go see Linnet, okay? Oh, and that one. It's got to be that side. All right. If you have a ball, I need this side up here and No, I don't. What do I need? I need red and blue up here and green and yellow up the back. Red and blue up here, green and yellow up the back. Red and blue up here, 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 red up here. It's not rocket science. All right. If you have a red ball, I'd like you to grab the rope. Pass me the ball and grab the rope. If you have a green ball, I'd like you to pass me the balls and grab the rope. And everyone else, just stand to the side, please. All right, move that way. Move that way a little. All right. Lenny, get ready to catch. All right. So we're just going to do a simple little game of tug of war. Okay? So here we go. Here's the marker. My hands. Yeah, but we're using my hand, okay? All right. Are you ready? Pull. Oh, we're going this way. Hey, radio, pull up. Well done. Do you know what happened? Do you know what just happened? These guys were brought into submission. And these guys just dominated. We just had submission and domination. So you guys just stand over here for a minute. Stand over here because you dominated. So you stand there. Radio, who's left? All right, blue, pick up a ball. Pick up the rope. What are you doing here? Oh, okay. So who's got the ball? You grabbing it, jumping in, Eli? You grab that. Good man, give me that. You go sit down and you jump in. Yeah. And you jump in, Lacey, and grab there. All right. You girls, get on. Okay. Now you ready? You ready? Don't hurt me now. So when I say pull, you've got to start pulling, okay? Ready, set, pull. Up. Oh, there we go. We went over here. Good job. Well done. All right. So you guys got to go sit down because you know what? You were just brought into submission and these guys dominated. You couldn't hold them. You had to submit. So now we have the round. Now we have the champion. Jump on, guys. Jump on. Here we go. Hang on a minute. I better do this. Let's have a proper mark here now. Are you ready? All right. Come forward a bit, boys. Come forward a bit. All right. Come forward a bit. All right. You ready? Are you steady? Spaghetti? Oh, no. Pull! Oh! 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 No, these guys won. You lost. All right. Well done. So, what we have here is a couple of fellas
that are brothers
that brought into submission everyone that laid hold of the rope. Right? They dominated. Good job. You get no prize. You just get the glory. And so the Bible says that we as people, that we as humans, were given the task of bringing this world and God's creation into subjection, to subdue it, to be over it, to dominate. That's contrary to what you get told. You get told at school that we're just in at many schools and many parts of the world, maybe not the schools you guys are at. I don't know, a lot of you is at a good Christian school, but a lot of places in the world, you get told that we just need to let nature run free. Have you seen the Australian bush? Yeah. When it runs free, everything out there wants to scratch you or bite you or kill you or get in your socks or suck the blood out of your legs or something else. And I'm glad that there's a gardener that brought it into submission so we can enjoy it, aren't you? I mean, this place looks beautiful when someone brings it into submission and tends to it and makes it what God wanted it to be, and that's what He gave us to do, right? And there's not an animal that can be tamed that mankind hasn't tamed. There's not a thing on this creation that God hasn't given us the ability to bring into submission when it comes to so many areas. In fact, if you go back to the Tower of Babel, and God said, if I didn't scatter their language, give them the different languages and scatter them across the world, there'd be nothing people couldn't do. And so, you know, do you understand why now we're seeing advances in science and everything else? It's not because we're smarter. It's just because we can share the knowledge from around the world and enable us to do things that we couldn't do when we had those language barriers so much more in place. Because God said back at the Tower of Babel, if I don't scatter their languages, there's nothing they won't be able to do. Nothing will be restrained from them. And so he gave us different languages and scattered us. But he said, I want you here in, let me just read how it's worded here specifically in verse 7 and 8. In verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. He left nothing that is not put under him. That's talking about us. But you know what it finishes with? But now we see not all things put under him. Because if you put any part of God's creation on the end of this rope, mankind with his intellect finds a means of being able to subdue it. You know, it used to be that the ocean was the great barrier. Now we're exploring the depths of space because God has given us the ability to subdue it. But you know, there's something on the end of this rope that when it gets on the end of this rope, we're the ones that are brought into subjection. We're the ones that are dominated. And it's not supposed to be that way. And you know what that thing is? The Bible tells us in Hebrews. Have a look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. We see not all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory. Where are my two champions? Where are my two boys that just champion on this rope? Was it? Come back up here and grab this rope for me. Back up the back there near Will. Grab it up the back there. Up the back there near Will. The Bible says this. The Bible says this. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, but that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. Jump over to verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, it didn't matter. Pick up the rope, boys. It didn't matter about all those others that got a hold of this rope. These boys won out over all of them. But you know what the sobering thing is? And the beautiful thing is, in our life, there is so many things where you can get the victory and you can bring it into subjection and you can subdue it. But one day, death is going to be on the end of this rope. And there is not going to be anything you can do to bring that into subjection. And it's just going to drag you in. And you're going to let it slip through your arms and hope that you can avoid it. But one day the silver cord will be broken. And your heart will stop beating and you'll die. Every one of us. I don't say that to scare you. I just say that's a reality. And you can't do anything about that. You might be able to hold it off. You might be able to bring it forward. But you can't stop it from happening. But you know what? Death can get a hold of the end of this rope. And whilst these boys can't do anything about it, there's a captain that got a hold of that rope for them and said, boys, you're not going to win this fight. So I'm going to win this one for you. Just let your captain step in. Let your captain step in and take hold of the rope for the battle that you can't win. And you know what we all do? We all go, no, I want my own glory. I'll do it my way. Take a seat, boys. Thank you. And say, no, I don't need a captain. I'll sort it out myself. But you won't. Because you'll bring many things under subjection. The Bible tells you that. But yet we see not everything brought into subjection. But we see Jesus. You know, the place where we couldn't, He did. Amen. The place where you can't win, He has won. And the Bible says here in Hebrews 2 verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Because it doesn't matter who gets on this rope in any other area of God's creation. As mankind, we can get up on the upper hand. I mean, we nearly wiped out the whales just because we could. The whales. I've seen a bloke and he rides around on a 1,200 kilo Brahman bull. Do you know? Where's a bit of a weedy fella, but not really weedy? Gareth. You're a bit weedy, but not really weedy. Right? Yeah. Right? Do you know that with the right instruction, Gareth would be able to hold down a 1,200 kilo scrub bull? Yeah, you could. Guarantee. You get his tail, you tuck it under his leg, back leg, you drive your knee into his flank, you hold the tail and you lean back away from the horns, and God's given us the intellect to figure out a way that even weedy old us can hold down a 1,200 kilo scrub bull that wants to get up and run. Because we've got a brain and an intellect and an ability, and God said, you can bring this world into submission, and that's your place to do that. And He put the fear of them and the dread of everything in our... they're scared. The world is... The animals, they see us and they run. Why? Because God gave them that fear. But when the devil gets on the end of that rope, you are not going to win. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. He has the power of death and you're not going to beat that. And so there is a great salvation that you need to tend to, and the way you tend to it is by visiting with your captain, your Savior, and making Him the captain of your salvation. And you submit yourself unto Him and you recognize Him as the Savior. And you lean on Him to take that fight for you and understand that He has died in your place. And this is what the Bible says. We're not going to race because I want you serious on this. But in Romans 6 verse 9, the Bible talks about Christ and it says that death hath no more dominion over Him. He died on the cross of Calvary, but He arose again, and death no more has dominion over Him. In Hebrews 2:15, the Bible says that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Can I remind you of something here? In verse 7 and 8, we're told to bring everything that put all things into subjection. But in verse 15, we're told that we're the ones in subjection. Some of you are bound up with fear. Some of you are concerned about big problems in life and little problems in life. Some of you are concerned about somebody else's death, your own death, just the reality of death. And this death is a death that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And sin brought death into the world, and that's why we talk about sin and try and teach you about sin so that you can see the attachment of sin to death. But as in Adam, all die. All of us that are born from Adam, we all die. But in Christ shall all be made alive. So, you can ignore it. You can scoff at it. You can brush it off. You can go, I'll think about it another day. You can go, I'm too young. If you think you're too young to die, go for a walk through a graveyard one day. See how many people you can find your age. It does not matter what age you are. You will find them there. You'll find a little girl your age. You'll find a young boy your age. Death is guaranteed. But in Christ, we don't have to have a fear of death. In Christ, we are made alive. Do you realize that without Christ, the worst thing that can happen to you is you die and go to hell? But do you realize that in Christ, the best thing that can happen to you is you die and go to heaven? Paul said, And to die is gain. I got them the other way around and I couldn't undo them. My tongue just wouldn't go. For me to live is Christ, and I live for Christ, but to die is gain. I have no fear of death. I'm not worried about dying. When I die, I go to be with the Lord. Because you know why? Because even death is supposed to be in subjection to us. That's how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be subject to death. Death is supposed to be subject to us, because God said, I put all things under their feet. But yet there's one point that without Christ we don't quite see the subjection. And so he sent us a captain, the captain of our salvation. And so you see death, but I see Jesus. That's what I'm trying to get you to see this week. That's what I'm praying that you would see. You would see your need for a captain. Your need for someone to stand in your place to win the victory that you can't win. God doesn't desire for you to die and for this all to come to an end. What was that song we finished with? I was trying to find it in the hymn book. With the last song we sang, what was that? Does anyone remember? Yeah. Can we sing that again? I don't know it, so I can't lead it. But Abby, can you come and play? Are you right to lead it? I can't sing. I don't know it. I don't know it well enough. I can't sing it to lead it. But what I want you to do is, as we sing this song, I just want you to think about what God's spoken to you about. Listen up. You say, God hasn't spoken to me about anything. You haven't stopped talking the whole time. How's God going to say anything? I'll tell you how God's going to say something to you. There's going to be something I read, something I said from God's word, that's just stuck in your heart. And as we sing, I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about Christ and who He is. And we're going to sing this song, and then we're going to finish, and we're going to pray, and we're going to go on to our next thing. But I want you to tend to so great a salvation right now. I want you to tend to the Lord and to the things of God. Because there's nothing more important. Take over, bro. We're going to go on to our next activity. I'm going to hand you over to Cam. Now, you want him out there? Can I send him out? I'm going to get you to just stand up and head on out. But let me just say this. Let me just say this before you go. Just before you go. What does it profit a man, or what does it profit a camper, if he gain the whole world, or if he gain all the points for his team and all the activities, and lose his own soul? Listen up, nice and quiet. If you know you haven't finished tending to so great a salvation, then don't go out there and play. Stay and tend to things with the Lord. If you need to talk to one of your camp leaders, if you need to talk to one of the camp directors, one of the generals, one of the captains, if you need to talk to me, then take the chance, because there's more important things. And I know that's a little casual to just do it that way, but it's not a complicated thing. It's like any relationship. And sometimes you just need to sit down and spend some time tending to it. So everyone head on out. Go gather out there at the front where you normally do. But if you need to sort things with the Lord, then just stay and do that.